Hi, I'm Will Sachs, the co-founder of Kindara, and you're listening to the App Guy podcast.
The App Guy podcast. Straight from your host, Paul, the App Guy. Sharing his app entrepreneur journey with you for your enjoyment. The App Guy podcast.
It's Paul Kemp here, host of the App Guy podcast, and I'm about to play you the episode that I recorded with Josh Earl. But I wanted to say a few things before you hear the episode. It was an amazing episode. I got really carried away because Josh revealed during it that he was running a contest, a giveaway, and the giveaway was for a license to Sublime Text, which is an editor that developers use. This giveaway was phenomenal, and at the time of recording, you'll hear the numbers that Josh gives out, but since then, since we've stopped recording and his campaign finished, he reached 320,000 plus emails that were all unique addresses of people entering this contest. A completely viral campaign, phenomenal success, basically has made him an instant online celebrity, and I was just so fortunate to catch him as he was having this phenomenal success, and you'll hear it through the interview. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to help you as an app developer. If you are an app developer and you have an app, then I wanted to make an offer. I've realized I can actually help you. So the first thing is that Josh does give a link to the software that he used to run the contest. You are very welcome to go and check out that link and go and if you're going to make a purchase to the software that he recommends, then please use his link. If you are on a tight budget, for example, and I actually went out immediately and bought the software based on the interview. As I say, I got carried away. And I bought a developer account license, which means I can actually develop the software and put it onto other domains. And it doesn't take very long for me to do that. So if you want to run a joint venture, a partnered contest where you give away promotion codes for your app or something that would actually be quite attractive as a giveaway, then please do reach out to me. Let's connect and I'll do this for you and I won't charge anything. Best way of connecting with me is email info@onemob.com. That's info@onemob.com, onemob.com. Twitter, if you follow me, I'll follow you back and we can DM each other. It's Paul_S_Kemp, Paul_S_Kemp. Or you can always go to my website and there's a contact form on there. It's theappguy.co, theappguy.co. Just do connect with me. Say that you've heard this on this episode and that you want to run a contest together, and I'll help you and get you set up. So the most important thing, though, that I've learned as a result of playing around with this software after speaking with Josh is that it's important to have some kind of kickstart to the campaign. So you do need, I guess, a level of influence, the ability to get the message out to quite a broad number of people. I would say you need at least to make it a successful campaign, you probably need sort of 500 to 900 people to initially click your giveaway, and for the giveaway to be enough of an incentive for people to actually join, participate, and then actively promote their lucky links, as we call them, to try and get people into the contest and create that viral behavior, which has resulted in Josh collecting ultimately 320,000 plus emails from this contest. So let me go over to the interview. It's a wonderful interview. I think you'll learn a lot. And just as you listen to it, bear in mind that if you are an app developer and you're struggling to get downloads, this is a phenomenally interesting way of attracting more attention to your app and having a potential sort of launch strategy as well for future apps. Okay, so enjoy the episode and remember to either go to Josh's link that he gives out during the episode, which you can find on theappguy.co, or reach out to me and we'll get you set up with a free giveaway. Okay, thanks for listening. Let's go over to the episode. Welcome to another episode of the App Guy podcast. I'm your host, it's Paul Kemp. Now, this podcast I set up because I really want to help you with whatever you're doing. So even if you are a full-time app developer, an indie app developer, an entrepreneur, or maybe, just maybe, a lot of you are currently working and you're listening to this show and you're in full-time positions and you're doing a lot of learning on the part-time basis. I've got a great show for you. I want you to listen to this episode because I think you'll be inspired by the journey of our next guest. So let me just go into introducing Josh Earl. Now, Josh Earl is a self-taught programmer, a writer, and an entrepreneur, and he is currently in a full-time position, but also he is doing a lot of work on the side, and he's going to give us an insight into what it is like to almost keep a full-time job going, but have these dreams, these aspirations on the side to do something with programming and app development. So I want to wish you a warm welcome, Josh, to the App Guy podcast.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Wonderful. Well, perhaps you could, give us a little bit of background on what got you into programming. You've obviously self-taught, so how did you know that you had this passion for programming, and give us a little bit of background about you personally?
Sure, yeah. So I graduated as a political science major, and I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do with that. What I wound up doing was continuing. In college, I was the editor of the student newspaper, and from there, I was offered a job at my alma mater, in the marketing department. So I kind of transitioned right out of college into that. And I did that for several years. I really liked it. I like writing. It's something I'm pretty talented at. And but the economy, wasn't great. And I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is not, it's not a media hub, shall we say. Right. So there's not a lot of job opportunities around here in that field. So I realized, so I actually ended up unemployed for about 6 months and transitioning between jobs, and realized I needed to come up with some more marketable skills. So I was about, 26, 27 at the time, and I had a wife, and it was really tough being unemployed for a guy. It's kind of an ego thing, and So I really decided this. It was kind of a kick in the pants that I needed, and I really got motivated and started digging into learning to program. Taught myself HTML, CSS, and PHP, and then from there, just started. I did a bunch of temping until I could finally break through and get a full time job. It took about 2 years of temping for me to land a full time programming job. So currently I'm doing iOS development, actually. My background is mainly Microsoft programming. So we're using a tool set called Xamarin that lets you write iPhone and Android apps in C#, which is a Microsoft language. And then they compile, the iOS version, which is what I'm working on, compiles down to Objective-C. So it's a native app, but it's written in Microsoft technologies. So that's what I'm currently doing full time. My side work is I wrote a book about, actually written two books now, about Sublime Text, the editor, which is one of the most popular text editors right now. And I wrote my first book about 2 years ago, and I've been marketing that and promoting that. And I wrote a follow up that I launched in March. Called Writing Sublime Plugins. So that's kind of my background and the stuff that I'm working on right now.
Well, Josh, what a fascinating start. And, firstly, I want to appeal to everyone listening right now in the Appster tribe. I mean, you can go and write a book. I mean, you didn't ask for permission to write your book. You just went ahead and wrote your own book. And has that really been valuable to you for building up your credibility and authority in the space?
Oh yeah, I mean, I've kind of established myself as an authority in Sublime, particularly in the Sublime community, which is pretty active. So it's really what's the main benefits to me that I've seen have been all the opportunities like this that I've gotten to talk about, you know, me and what I'm doing, just because I have this product out there. You know, it gives me a hook to interest people to start a conversation.
There you go. So you've given us our first action point, which is to now think about a book. Everyone has a book inside them, I'm pretty sure. We all know lots of different things about you know, the various talents that we have, and we can put that into a book. And so I love the way you did that. Perhaps just going a little bit more into detail about how you actually wrote the book. How did you go about preparing yourself to write the book? Did you, you know, but basically splurge everything down onto one piece of paper and then kind of give yourself the framework? Yeah, give us an insight into what it takes to write a book.
Yeah, so I've gone through a few different kind of evolutions with my writing process. So when I first started writing, when I was working on the newspaper and doing my writing professionally, I was very undisciplined in the way I approached it. So I typically would just kind of like research, and take notes, and then I would sort of compile them, and then I would just start writing, and I would grind out this agonizing first draft that was like perfect, you know, like I wanted my first draft to be my last draft, and I couldn't move on until I got the first sentence right, you know, and I just went through the entire process that way, and it was really, really, really slow and painful. and that was kind of the approach I took for my first book. The title is Sublime Productivity, and I originally got the idea from I set a blogging challenge for myself. I'd wanted to get better at blogging regularly, and so I said, well, I'm going to try to blog every day for 30 days. And so I didn't care what it was, you know, or anything. I just wanted to get something out there. So I wrote a blog post every day, and I wrote this post about Sublime, which I had just started using at the time, and it ended up going kind of nuclear on Hacker News. Like, I got like 30,000 page views on my little blog in, you know, 24 hours, which is
wow,
unbelievable for me, because for me a good day is like, oh, I got 200 views, yeah, yay. when I published a new post. So once I realized that, I saw, you know, there's some interest here. I've seen a few other posts about Sublime on Hacker News that have done well, and then mine did well. So I was like, you know, at the time I had just seen Nathan Barry and a couple of other people, Jared Drysdale, had posted stuff on Hacker News about how they'd written books and how much money they'd made and how well it had done and everything. So I'd been kind of thinking about the idea. And so the Sublime thing kind of got me thinking. So I just sat down one day, pulled out my little MacBook Air, and just started typing. What I did was I carved out about half an hour to an hour every morning. I can't remember if I initially set a word goal for myself. I think I set a time goal where I was just going to write for 30 minutes a day.
Yeah, because we had Nathan Barry on this show, and he set himself a almost like a word goal where he wanted to write 1,000 words per day.
Yeah,
and I believe he actually wrote an app called Commit, and he put this commitment into his own app. And he said there's no way he was going to break that rule, you know, because he's ended up getting hundreds and hundreds of days where it's never-ending content.
Yeah, for me, like I did try that for a while and I really liked it, but it was a little bit too much since he's a consultant, and he's got a little more flexibility with his time. And for me, 1,000 words is a little bit too much just to sustain day after day. And because it doesn't leave me any time, I'm able to hit that writing, but I'm not able to do anything with the words I'm writing. I don't have time to go back and edit that stuff. So I actually did that approach when I wrote my second book. So with my first book, I was pretty undisciplined about it. I just kind of hacked away and, you know, wrote every day. And basically my outline was the Sublime interface. Like, I kind of went through different parts of the Sublime interface and looked for features to write about and then wrote about them. Figured out how they worked and wrote about them. For my second book, I took a much more structured approach where I was going to teach people how to write a Sublime plugin from start to finish. And so I didn't know Python. I'd never written a Sublime plugin before. So the first thing I did was I spent about, I think it was about a month, where I worked on a plugin, my own plugin, and learned Python, kind of hacked away at it, took notes, and tried to sequence. So I used Git to do my version control, and I tried to sequence the commits to Git so that I could go back and look at the development of the plugin and actually tell that story when I wrote the book. So then, so I took pretty good notes. Then I spent about another month going through those notes and my commits and outlining the heck out of this thing. It was about, the outline was about 20, 25 pages, which seems like a lot, but it was literally like almost paragraph by paragraph outline. Because I wanted to be able to just write the thing when that time came and not be thinking about where I was going next. And then finally I sat down and I wrote the whole thing. It was about, I think it was ended up being around 30,000 words. I wrote it all in 30 days. So the outlining really, really helped. Like my first book is about that length and it took me about 6 months to write. Right. So, you know, when you outline like that, for me anyway, it really allows you to kind of fly through the writing because you've done all your thinking already. That's what, like the typing is not what's slowing you down. It's thinking about what you're going to say next. So if you know what you're going to say already, then, you know, it takes all the guesswork out of it.
There you go. You've just given us a great framework for writing a book. And that's wonderful because I can imagine, yeah, as you sit down with that sort of in detail outline, then you can actually just go through and absolutely hammer the thing within and 30 days. Wow. I mean, that's ultimately, but obviously it took you a long time to kind of get the knowledge to be able to do that. So,
right. Yep.
You can't just start a book and expect to finish it within 30 days. But one of the things I wanted to pick up on actually, interestingly, is like your feeling, how you felt on that day when you got 30,000 views to your website. And it hits on an idea that I've had, and I'm very open. I want to, you know, happy to share the idea. And if someone wants to build this, then great. I think that the world needs almost like an app where there's a community behind the app, and the app gives like these tasks, a daily task to go and do something very positive without reward to someone. So go and retweet their tweets, like their comments, go and visit their website, make a comment. And it's called Prop App. And the whole emphasis behind it is that all of us seem to be pushing out content, there's not a lot of people acknowledging. And I just wondered what it felt like to have that 30,000 views on that one day and you know, just out of over a 24-hour period.
Hey, Paul, sorry about that. I lost you there. It was, honestly, it was pretty overwhelming. You kind of, when you're starting out to blog, you're kind of talking into the void, you know. You feel like there's nobody there, and just, you know, when something does catch on like that, it's very motivating, you know. I was like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah. You know, so, what do you think? Do you think that idea is a reasonable one? You know, because I just feel like more people deserve the acknowledgement for the stuff they're putting out there. And if we had some kind of flash mob type mentality where we would go and pile into, you know, someone's blog and all of us would focus on it, or reviews on an app or reviews on a podcast, and just all focus on that for one day, do you think that's like a worthy cause?
That's a really interesting idea, because a lot of times these, you know, like it takes is a little nudge. With this stuff, I've noticed this with Hacker News. I don't like get a lot of articles there anymore because I'm mostly focused on writing. But I've noticed that like all it takes there is a couple upvotes, and suddenly, you know, you're starting to rise, and then you hit the front page, and it's like, holy cow, you know, it's you look at Google Analytics and you've got hundreds of people on your site, and you know, so like, you know, just getting people, helping people get over that initial hump where no one is paying attention. Could be very beneficial.
Yeah, do you think that's not just with, I guess, your example of getting into Hacker News, but that's life in general now, that if you want to get noticed, because everything seems to be charts, trending, and, you know, we've spoken to many app developers on this specific show right now where they say that they've had to align their app launch with people with large lists who can then really do a very specific product launch. And
of the app. It's almost like a science now to try and get into charts. Are you finding that?
Yeah, you definitely need to come up, like what I've found is that you need to find a strategy that, like, there's so many of these strategies that work, and you need to find one and get good at it. For me, actually, with my Sublime books, what the hook was, I learned how to do Twitter pretty well. And then from there, I learned email marketing. And email marketing, like, if you're not doing email marketing, if you have any kind of product and you're not trying to use email, you need to get on that, because email is far and away the best way to market anything on the internet right now. So it's just a matter of finding, there's a lot of good ways to jumpstart what you're doing, and you need to find one strategy and get good at it. Like another technique that I used. So from Twitter, I've been trying to grow my email list from Twitter for a long time now. And one thing I noticed that did really well on Twitter is giveaways and contests. So I did a giveaway for a free copy of Sublime Text, which is not my book, but it's something that people who might be interested in my book would want. So I got, the first time I did that, I got around like 400 signups maybe, which is, it's pretty good for me. I sold a few books from that. I paid for the license for sure. The second time I did it, I got around 1400, as my Twitter audience grew, I was able to reach more people. And then this week I'm doing one. This is a little insane. So I'm using a plugin by the guys at AppSumo. Right. That actually allows people to share your giveaway. And every time they share it, people use their little link and they get more entries for the giveaway. So it's like a viral thing. It incentivizes people to share what you're doing. I checked this morning, I have more than 60,000 people signed up for this. So it's kind of blowing my mind. I'm actually really stressed out this week because my server's been crashing. Because of this giveaway has just taken off. So I'm probably gonna walk away from this with anywhere from 80 to 100,000 email addresses that I now have to figure out, how to sell my book to.
Josh, so, this is, firstly, congratulations to you. What an amazing story.
Yeah, it's pretty, I'm actually in contact with the guys over at AppSumo and hoping to do something with them about this plugin, because I knew when I saw this plugin. So Noah, I got an email from Noah Kagan. I'm on his list, and he was doing this giveaway, and I saw what he was doing, and I was like, "This is brilliant." Because the one thing I've had trouble with my giveaways is, like, there's no reason for people to share your giveaway, because the more people that enter, the less chance they have of winning. Right? It's like a perverse incentive.
Yes.
So I saw this plugin by Noah and guys at AppSumo, and it clicked. It was like, okay, this is brilliant. This fixes what was wrong with my giveaway. So I bought it instantly, and I just launched the contest. All I did to launch this thing, so I had an email. My email list before I started this was about 5,500, and so that's pretty good. It took me about 2 years to build that up, and it's a decent sized list. It's small, but not too bad. And then I have about 13,000 Twitter followers. So I sent one tweet and one email. Wow. And then my server fell over on the traffic.
So tell us about the plugin then. Is it a WordPress plugin?
Yeah, it's a WordPress plugin. It's called King Sumo Giveaways. And it's actually, it's on sale this week, but it'll be over by the time this airs, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They just introduced it, and AppSumo has used this technique to build their list. So they're kind of sharing this plugin, and the plugin's about $200. But if you've got an email list, it is totally, totally worth it. So the way it works is you install it in WordPress, and it's dead simple. Like, it just creates a new page on your WordPress site, and You fill in a few fields, like with a headline of an image of the giveaway, whatever you're giving away, and the rules and everything, and fill out a couple emails. It sends the emails directly from WordPress, and it even handles the drawing. So when you're done with the contest, you just click a button and it'll send an email to the winner. It's a pretty sweet little plugin. And but what's really killer about it is the viral feature, where people it's basically an affiliate link. You know, it's like a lucky URL, they call it.
I've used something called Punch Tab before, but not with the same impact that you're seeing there. And yes, it sounds something like that. But I love the idea. And, you know, I want to actually drill in a little bit more because this is so fascinating. The fact that your business, as we're speaking, is accelerating to the stratosphere and beyond.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why you're obviously on a high. And I mean, in terms of giving, what are you giving away?
So I'm giving away a free copy of Sublime Text. So this whole giveaway will cost me $270. $200 for the plugin, $70 for Sublime Text. One license for Sublime. And yeah, it's pretty crazy. The key thing with giveaways is
Is that Josh? Yeah. Is that a physical book or is it an e-book?
Oh, sorry. No, this is so Sublime Text is it's an actual license for the Sublime Text editor software.
Oh, right.
So,
okay.
Yeah, it's not my book. So that's actually the point I wanted to make next, which is a lot of people do giveaways and they make one of two mistakes. They either do a giveaway and they say, oh, I'm going to give away a Kindle Fire, right? Or something like that, or an iPad or something. And what you get is you get, you might get a million email addresses doing that, but they're all going to be from people who have no interest in what you're doing beyond the fact that you're giving away an iPad. So this giveaway is working for me because and past giveaways have worked for me because it's something that only my audience would be interested in. You know, most people don't care about Sublime Text. Only people who might be a good fit for my book would actually care about this contest. So that's one mistake, is just giving away something that's a hot item that's not, you know, not something that your audience would be interested in. And then the other mistake is blanking on it. Give me a second here.
Well, Josh, this is phenomenal stuff. So thank you very much for being so open about going through that contest. I know that we're moving on now and I want to pick up on some other things. But if anyone is listening to this and wants more information, obviously they can go and check out your episode. I'll put all the links in the show notes for Josh Earle and... and they could go and check out your Twitter account as well, I believe. It's at Sublime Text. Is that right? At Sublime Text.
At Sublime Text Tips.
At Sublime Text Tips, that right.
Yeah, okay. with text spelled TXT. The other one was already taken.
Okay, TXT. Great. So yeah. There's the Twitter account if you want to go and see a test case for how to attract 100,000 email addresses, then go and have a look at that. So... just moving on, I mean, clearly then you're seeing a lot of success and you must be thinking about the next steps for you. And talk us through how you plan to make a transition to be an entrepreneur. I'm guessing you want to be a full-time entrepreneur with the freedom that brings and the obvious attractions to working for yourself.
Yeah, that's kind of my long-term goal here. I really like my job. I have no complaints. I get to work from home, go upstairs and see my kids, you know, over lunch. But my long-term aspirations are really to be an entrepreneur, mainly because I want that lifestyle. You know, like I don't want to be, you know, I work from home, but I still have a job and it's a 9-to-5, you know, or 8-to-5. And so I need to be at my desk. I need to be available. And I'd really like to be able to have the freedom to, you know, go to the zoo in the middle of the day if that's what I want to do. So that's kind of the direction that I'm heading. And I've tackled this from a few different angles. Like one really big angle, when I first started thinking about this a couple years ago, I knew I wasn't ready. Like a lot of people, I think, jump into it. And then they realize, oh, okay, there's nobody telling me what I'm doing anymore or, you know, what to do anymore. So they kind of flame out, you know, they don't have the discipline to get up every day and just do what they need to do. And so I've started trying to train myself to be more disciplined in how I work. One thing that's been huge for me is I started getting up, I think this was about a year ago now, I started getting up every day at 5:20 a.m. And I've never been a morning person, so that was really tough. I've tried many times before to do that and failed. And what finally worked for me this time was training myself to get up with my alarm, not at a specific time, but with my alarm. I used to be a chronic snoozer, right? Like, the alarm goes off, you hit snooze 10 times. I'm surprised my roommates in college didn't smother me with a pillow, because I was pretty rude to them with my snooze, with my snoozing. But I finally figured out how to break that habit. I just started setting my alarm every day, and I set it for like a really easy time, like 7:30 or 8 when I would normally get up. And then I just forced myself to get up when I heard that alarm. And then once I got in the habit of that, I was able to walk it back pretty easily. So that, you know, that figuring that out has been huge for me. So now I have several hours in the morning every day. I have tried working on my own stuff in the evening, and it just doesn't work for me. I'm too tired after a full day of programming. You know, that's pretty draining. I don't have the time, or, you know, I don't have the mental energy left to write and do this other stuff. So I have been trying to get more discipline there. And then the other thing I've also been doing is using the Pomodoro technique during the day at my day job to train myself to not, you know, to work on a schedule. And that's been huge for me. In the past when I've taken PTO, sometimes I'll take a few days of PTO to try to work on a big project. And I've typically had major problems when I did that. You know, like, that's the closest thing.
Sorry,
like,
if Josh, what's PTO? Yeah. I'm a Brit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's paid time off. So okay. Vacation time. Yeah. So I'll take vacation time and then try to work on my own stuff. And typically what happens is day one, I don't get as much done as I want to. Day two, I'm depressed because of how day one went. I get even less done. And then by day three, I'm kind of in this deep funk. And I waste a week, basically. So what I've been doing is trying to train myself with the Pomodoro technique, which if you're not familiar with it, it's basically working to a timer. You set a timer for 25 minutes, and you work on one thing, no distractions, for 25 minutes. And then when the timer rings, you take a five-minute break, and then you come back and tackle it again. So I've been doing this all day, you know, day in, day out with my programming tasks. And I've gotten to the point now where when that timer's going, I'm just kind of a machine. I just go into work mode. And so recently I took some PTO, last week actually, I took some time off to work on marketing my book and setting up the giveaway that I just was talking about and a couple other things. And I used the Pomodoro technique, and you know, I was able to just sort of sit there and crank my timer up and just get work done. So if you're thinking about quitting your job, you need to start thinking about how you're going to work after you quit your job. You know, like, you need to be your own boss at your job now, so that you're prepared for it when that time comes. So that's been pretty major for me.
That is inspirational, Josh, to certainly me and everyone listening. I completely resonate with what you're saying there, because I made the fundamental mistake of wanting to quit my job, but not having a plan or any kind of idea about what I wanted to do. And if I'd have implemented maybe some of your techniques there, the Pomodoro technique, I would have probably been in a better position than just floating around lost when I first left my my job, and then, you know, losing my salary and then trying to a couple of harebrained ideas that didn't go anywhere and lost me a lot of money. So, I would. It's just inspirational to hear you talk through your thinking, because there's so many of us out here who we listen to podcasts, we hear the life that we want, but we're just a little bit too scared to actually implement a change. And it's only to when you've done it and you realize that actually it's not so bad. But it's just that kind of making that change. I know that you'll certainly, that's a great plan. So how can we find out more about this Pomodoro technique? Is there an online resource we can go to?
Yeah, there is. Actually, I'll send you to an affiliate link.
Okay.
A good marketer. Go to joshuaearl.com/Pomodoro, and that will take you to, I have to set that up, but that'll take you to the Amazon. There's an Amazon book. There's the book on Amazon called The Pomodoro Technique Illustrated. That's really good. So check that out.
Great. Now, But before we leave, I know that there's one more thing I just wanted to talk to you about, which is you're in a mastermind. And what I loved in our pre-chat is that you chat in this mastermind and then you record the conversation and upload it as a podcast. And it just gives me, I guess, the inspiration that no matter what you do on in your online business, that you can create content for others and share, you know, your experiences. Can you tell us just a little bit about the mastermind and what you're getting up to there?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we've been meeting for about 9 months. It's me and two other guys, John Sanmez and Derek Bailey. And we're all programmers. They're both independent now. And I'm the only one with the full-time job. So I kind of represent that contingent. But we meet, yeah, we meet once a week for about an hour and a half. And we literally, like, we're doing this for a while before we started to record it, but we really just kind of talk about, we start off by talking about our weeks and like what we're doing. And a lot of it is honestly just kind of emotional support because there's a lot, like when you're trying to do your own business, there's a lot of ups and downs. And about, you know, 3 out of every 7 days, I feel like a complete failure. You know, you'll get an email complaint or somebody will yell at you on Twitter for having a pop-up on your website, or, you know, and just like little things like that really can really just take the wind out of your sails. And having a mastermind group has been just life-changing for me. You know, we learn from each other, we support each other, and then so after about 3 or 4 months of meeting, we were sort of talking about doing a podcast together, and I was like, why don't we just record these calls? And we've tried really hard to keep them to keep from changing the tone of our calls too. So we're like, they're pretty raw. Like, people have told us they're kind of raw. You know, like, we're talking about the nitty gritty details of what we're doing week to week in our businesses. So it's a little different than a lot of podcasts where you'll get kind of the, you know, people will share their successes more. So we talk a lot about our failures and like what we're discouraged about. And, you know, one of my friends was like listening to it and he's like, well, one thing I've learned is that I don't want to be an entrepreneur, you know, which is a good outcome for him. Cause if he'd tried it, you know, and didn't enjoy it, that would be rough. So
great. And what's the name of the podcast?
The podcast name is The Entreprogrammers. Like entrepreneurs and programmers. So it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. It's a little bit hard to pronounce, but.
Great. Well, I'm just looking it up and then I'm going to leave you a 5-star review as well after listening to it. And I encourage everyone else to go and check it out and leave a 5-star review.
Flash mob.
Yeah, there you go. There's the that's the flash mob app. Then maybe that's a better name for it. I'm just going to popularity, and I can see that you had a massively popular show in May called The Arena of Quack.
That was popular.
Yeah, it's.
I don't know.
I just sorted by the most popular, and it seems to be
hilarious.
That's
that episode started off with a 30-minute shouting match about chiropractic care. So I suspect those people are not in the core audience that we're, you know, maybe okay. If it's super popular, maybe it's not, for the reasons that we'd want it to be.
Right.
Okay. It was pretty funny. So we had one of the guys that thinks that chiropractic is just complete quackery. I have had some good experiences with it. And the other guy in the call had very good experiences with it. So we were kind of discussing, you know, the ups and downs of chiropractic.
Wow. That's amazing.
Totally off topic.
I guess that's the theme of this particular show is that sometimes we've got no idea what tips this over and becomes, you know, popular. And you were talking about Hacker News, and the fact is that, you know, you can't try and replicate some of the things that just end up going viral or become very popular. And you just have to, I guess, just do what Nathan Barry and some of the other guests on here and you and I do, is just keep putting content out there and just have the discipline and the habit to just regularly produce. And good things will come from, I guess, areas where they're unforeseen.
You do get better at spotting where those breakthroughs might come from. Like, for example, I knew this giveaway was going to be a success. I had no idea that it was going to be this level, you know. But I knew from my other experiences, I knew that this plugin that I was going to use was going to help, you know. And I knew that the giveaway itself was worth doing. So,
great. Well, Josh, I am sad to bring this to an end because I have thoroughly enjoyed our chat. You've been more than amazing with your time because, you know, here we are now 35 minutes into the podcast and I've already had like 20 minutes of your time pre-chat and all this stuff. So I want to thank you extremely from the bottom of my heart for joining us on the App Guy podcast and sharing your wisdom with the Appster tribe. How best can people get in touch and reach out to you?
Best place to find me is my personal blog, joshuaearl.com. And you can also find me on Twitter at @josh_earl.
Wonderful. Josh, it's been an amazing ride. I wish you all the best with everything that's going on. I can imagine that there'll be, when the show goes live, there'll be a lot of people going to the your Twitter account and having a good look. So if we can reward you in any way, do you have some kind of affiliate link that we can go to for the AppSumo giveaway, the plugin?
Actually, I don't, unfortunately. They I'm talking to them about that, but they don't have anything set up.
Okay.
Well, joshuaearl.com/giveaway. No, let's make it joshuaearl.com/KingSumo giveaway. I will at least redirect you to the plugin if it's not an affiliate link.
Great. Yeah. So that's the best way because we'd like to say thank you for obviously sharing all that. And the best way of doing that is to go and buy the plugin through your affiliate link. So wonderful. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us on the App Guy podcast. All the best. And hope to have you back and when you're doing your gazillion contest giveaway and you've got every email on the planet. What a lovely problem to have. You've got too many emails to export.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with them all, honestly.
Right, okay, wonderful. Thanks for joining us on App Guy Podcast. What a great guy, and all the best.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Stay tuned for the next episode. If you want to be a guest on the show or suggest someone, then please send an email to info@onemob.com. The App Guy Podcast.